Broadcasting Company presents the fourth performance of its great play series for 1941-42, Nikolai Gogol's The Inspector General, translated by John Anderson and adapted for radio by Neil Hopkins. To tell you something of the story behind today's great play and each play of this series, we have been fortunate in enlisting the services of Barrett H. Clark, author of several books and standard texts, and at present executive director of the Dramatists Play Service. We ask him now to introduce our production of The Inspector General. Mr. Clark.
I suppose every writer of satire likes to feel that he has helped mankind mend its ways. But the plain fact is either that mankind needs a prodigious amount of mending, or the satirists have not done a very good job. Because by and large, since the dawn of civilization, the satirist reformer has been hammering away at the same old human faults and vices and weaknesses. 2,400 years ago, the Greek comic writer Aristophanes poked fun at the crooked politicians of his day. And the first thing that occurs to a modern reader of Aristophanes is how absolutely up-to-date this old fellow is. For the life of us, we can hardly tell the difference between a Greek crook of 350 B.C. and an American crook of 1941 A.D. Or to tie up this brief discussion with the comedy we are offering you today, with the Russian crook of 1836 A.D. If mankind could be reformed by reading books and seeing plays, the world would have reached perfection ages ago. And in a way, that would have been too bad. We should have been deprived of quite a number of delightful plays and novels, not to mention the fun of laughing at ourselves as interpreted in the work of Shakespeare and Cervantes and Dickens. And that, too, would have been too bad. The Inspector General is an outstanding example of literary satire. First produced in 1836 in what was then known as St. Petersburg and is now Leningrad, it was just as pointed and pertinent 105 years ago as it has remained throughout the long period of its popularity under both the Tsarist and the Bolshevist regimes. The wonder is that government officials of the day were unable to prevent its production, which they naturally tried hard to do. Maybe they were wise enough to know that suppression would practically amount to admitting the abuses it depicted. But no matter. What is important is that the Inspector General is a grand, romping farce comedy. The author of our play was the famous and important Russian novelist Nikolai Vasilievich Gogol, who was born in 1809 and died in 1852. Like so many writers of comedy, Gogol did not live a particularly happy life. And most of his novels and stories are serious when they are not actually tragic. He himself tells us that it was his aim in writing The Inspector General to drag into the light all that was bad in Russia. Rather a large order, that. I wonder whether he was disappointed when, on its production, it met with popular success. For a sober moralist to wake up the morning after the opening of such a play and find that people considered it a comedy success may have been just a bit discouraging. I don't know whether Gogol's masterpiece ever succeeded in routing out a single crooked politician or turning one receiver of stolen goods into an upright citizen. But I do know that it has for over a century done something that I am inclined to think far more important. It provoked wholesome laughter. And now for the play. The time is 100 years ago. The scene is the rather disordered living room of the mayor's home in a small Russian town. As the curtain rises, three local officials are impatiently awaiting the convenience of their chief. They are Tapkin, the town judge, Lukich, superintendent of schools, and Filipovich, commissioner of hospitals. Tapkin, the judge, is speaking.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning.
Good morning, Judge Tapkin.
We meet again. And if I'm not mistaken, around the same table. Where's the mayor? What's he want us here this time of day? I haven't got any more money. You know that old rascal cleaned me out last night? I never saw such luck. If you can call it luck, Filipovich.
You don't suggest that
I'm not suggesting anything. I know very well I saw two kings of diamonds. And you can't tell me... how about you, Lukic?
Yes, I've noticed that. And the last time we played here, too, some very odd things happened. I wonder how he does it. And how I, as a poor superintendent of schools, can afford it.
Judge Tapkin, if I could handle cards the way he does, I'd give up politics altogether. I'm tired of being hospital commissioner anyway.
Well, haven't you any idea what he wants? I'm busy this morning.
I wish I did know. Why doesn't he come?
Oh, he's probably just turning over for another nap. Well, good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm glad you're here. Let's see. Filipovich, hospital commissioner. Mm-hmm. Judge Tapkin.
Yeah.
Lukic, superintendent of schools. Oh. Where are the others?
Oh, they'll come along soon, I suppose. Has anything happened?
We'll wait for them a few minutes.
You had all the luck last night, Your Honor. Did I catch it when I got home?
Well, why can't we begin now, Antona? I've really got to get back. That dog of mine is having puppies.
Oh, very well, gentlemen. Enough of these idle matters. I have some news for you. Some very important news.
News? What sort of news? Must be good to get us out of bed after last time.
It's not good at all, gentlemen, but most unpleasant, most regrettable. I called you here to tell you that an inspector is coming to visit us.
An inspector?
By the Tsar, it's impossible.
An inspector, all right. A government inspector from Petersburg and incognito. Think of that, incognito and with secret order.
But we don't need an inspector here.
Why, there hasn't been an investigation in this town for 10 years.
And just when we had everything going so fine, too.
We were too well off. I knew it wouldn't last.
I don't like it any better than you do. It upsets everything. Oh, well... Let me read you this letter. It's from China. He's an old friend of mine. Dear friend, benefactor, and godfather, I hasten to inform you that an official has arrived with instructions to inspect the whole province, and especially our district.
Oh.
Our district, mind you.
Hmm.
And to continue, he says, I've learned this from a most reliable source, and I must warn you that this official probably passes himself off for a private person.
Mm.
Knowing that you are like the rest of us and have your little failings, I advise you to take every precaution, for he may arrive at any moment, if indeed he is not already living among you incognito. Now, there, gentlemen, you have the situation. Incognito and all.
Yes, that's plain enough.
It's like a stab in the back. Don't you think so, Tapkin?
My friends, there's something behind all this. You mark my word.
But why, Anton? In heaven's name, why? What brings him here?
Why? Who can say?
Oh, there's something else in all this. It's not as simple as it looks. There's some political purpose, Anton.
Well, that's a matter for argument. One opinion's as good as another. But I'm not talking about opinions. I'm talking about a fact, gentlemen. An extremely inopportune fact. The fact of an inspector general who may even now be undoing us behind our own backs. So I warn you, look sharp. For my own part, I've taken a few precautions. And I urge you to do the same. You, in particular, Artemi. He's pretty certain to make a beeline for the hospital. And well, I'd hate to be in your boots if he sees it the way it is. Those pajamas alone are enough for an official report. Why don't you have them washed sometimes? Lord knows, I'm not a stickler about such things, but those patients look like chimney sweeps.
I suppose there must be some clean pajamas somewhere.
Well, see what you can do before it's too late. And I think there ought to be some way of telling the patients apart. You might put up a sign over each bed in Latin or something with the name of each disease and the patient's name and so on and so forth. Anything, only make it look business-like.
Why haven't I thought of that before?
Why, indeed. Well, get to it. This inspector might think the doctor doesn't know his business.
Oh, we don't waste much money on medicines. They're thrown away on these people. We just let nature take its course. If they die anyhow. And if they get well...
And how about that doctor? Who is he, anyhow? Some friend of yours, isn't he?
A fine fellow, too. A German. Very thorough and practical. Though strictly between ourselves, he's had some trouble with the patients.
Trouble? We don't want any troubles now. What's the matter with him?
The main thing is that he doesn't speak a word of Russian.
Well, it's too late to teach him now, so you'd better keep him out of the way, although that might seem a little peculiar. As to the courthouse,
What that place needs is a good cleaning out. I don't think that's any place for the porters to keep geese. You can't even walk through the halls. They're filthy. And the smell. And the feathers.
Oh, well, no, that's a small matter. I can have them in the kitchen in no time. Do you want to come to dinner?
No, we'll talk about that later. But don't stop with the geese. The courtroom itself is just as bad. And there's that clerk of yours. Perhaps he knows his business. But...
I know. He smells like a rum barrel.
Exactly. One whiff is enough to knock you down.
Well, I've spoken to him about it, but he just says it's his natural smell. I can't do anything about that.
Well, let him try an onion or garlic. Or we might get the doctor to give him some pills. That's the sort of thing that gives the wrong impression.
No. He's past purging. You know, he says his nurse dropped him as a baby and... he smelled of vodka ever since.
I suppose it can't be helped. But the stool! I'm afraid, Luka Lukic, that's a different matter. Some of your teachers are a little peculiar. Perhaps it's only natural, and I'm not criticizing their ability, but that fellow, I can't remember his name. That fellow with the fat face!
Oh, I know him all right.
No, what's the matter with him? Every time he gets up on the platform, he twists his face up like a wet towel. He's always smoothing his beard from under his tie. That's no way for a teacher to act. If he makes a face like that at one of the boys, it may be all right. It may be necessary. But what if he does it at the wrong time? The inspector might think it was meant for him. Heaven knows what that might lead to.
There's no use talking about that man. I've told him not to do it. Why, only the other day when the marshal was here, that fellow made a face. Well, I can't tell you what it was like. I've never seen anything like it. Even I, who've seen his worst faces, was startled. And he did it, mind you, with the best intentions. Yes, but his intentions don't help. And I was reprimanded for putting wild notions into the heads of young Russians.
Well, Lukic, you can do something about the history teacher now. There's no excuse for the way he goes on. No doubt he's a brainy fellow, but there's no reason he should leap about like a jumping jack.
Sometimes I'm frightened myself. That man goes mad.
And just what I said. I heard him once. He was calm enough when he was talking about the Assyrians and the Babylonians. But when he came to Alexander the Great... there are no words for it. I thought the house was on fire. Hanged if I didn't. He leaped over his desk, banged the chairs, threw the books around, completely forgot himself. Now, of course, Alexander was a hero. We all know that. But why smash the chairs? They're government property.
True, Mr. Mayor. I've talked to him about it, but what are you going to do with a man like that, His only answer is, I can't help it. In the cause of learning, I'm ready to lay down my life.
Yes, such is the mysterious dispensation of Providence. I've often noticed that clever men are always a little unbalanced. They're either drunkards or they make such faces you don't know where to look. Well, it's very curious. I suppose I have my little whims myself. I know how to control them.
Heaven help any man who has to run schools. Everyone cheats, lies, interferes. It's no life.
I wouldn't care so much if it wasn't for this confounded incognito. It makes me shrivel inside. First thing we know, he'll stick his head in there all of a sudden someday and say, ha-ha, my pets. And who is judge here, you say? Then hand him over. And who is the health commissioner? And so it will go. All because we can't tell an inspector general when we see one. That's what's so terrifying.
Am I too late, Your Honor? You know, after that little game last night, what is all this about an official?
Ah, the postmaster. That's why we're here, Lord help us. Haven't you heard?
Hey, Dobchinsky just ran into the post office, and he told me. It's incredible. What a blow.
Well, what do you make of it, Postmaster Shepkin?
Well, this is perfectly obvious, Mr. Mayor. There'll be a war with the Turks. It's those nasty Frenchies again.
My very words. Just what I said. I knew it.
Oh, I don't mean that, you fools. It's we who are going to catch it, not the Turks. Here is written down in black and white. Read this, Shepkin.
Well, if it's in black and white, that's different. That's different. An inspector general. That's something else again.
Well, what do you say to that, then?
Oh, I don't know. How about yourself?
Me? Well, I'm no coward, but I'm just a little uncomfortable. You never know what will happen. They're the merchants, for instance. They'd like a chance to trip me up, and why?
Shall we get?
Because they say I'm a bloodsucker. Though heaven is my witness, if I've taken something here and there, there's been no malice about it. I haven't done it for spite. But a fact like that is nothing against their lies.
Naturally.
Do you suppose there's been some secret report against me already? Listen, Shepkin, you can help us out of this.
You see all the mail that goes through the post office, don't you?
Oh, sometimes when I feel like it.
Well, now, couldn't you, just for our common benefit, open every letter?
Please, my dear sir.
I mean, just open them slightly and see who's telling tales. If there's nothing in them, you can seal them up again or deliver them open. It doesn't matter.
I know. I've been doing it for years. And not from precaution, just out of curiosity. I like to know what's going on within the world. There are some amazing things, too, and also well described. It's a treat to read it.
Well, you haven't read anything about an official from Petersburg, have you?
No, Petersburg official. But plenty about those in Saratov and Kostroma. Those letters. Only the other day, for instance, I read one which a lieutenant wrote to a friend describing a ball he was to in the most intimate terms.
Yes.
Really delicious. I lead a most heavenly life, he wrote. Lots of young ladies, yes. Music, dancing, and so forth. Would you like to read it?
No, not now. This isn't the time for such things, but just keep one eye on the letters, will you?
Leave it to me.
Holy saints, I can't get that confounded incognito out of my head. Sitting and waiting and shaking inside, all because we never know when that door will fly open and in will walk. Who's that?
The most amazing thing has happened.
Dobchinsky, what is it?
Oh, I never saw anything like it in my life. I went to the inn.
I sent you. You were drunk.
Please, let me. I'll tell the story. I said I would tell it.
Oh, that lisp of yours. You've got a tooth in your mouth which whistles.
It does not, and please don't interrupt. You'll get me all muddled up. Gentlemen, tell him not to interrupt.
Well, let's hear your story, quick. My heart's in my mouth. Oh, what happened?
Now, wait. I'm telling it. It was down at the inn. No sooner had we entered than a young man walked in. He was very singularly dressed with a very strange expression on his face.
What sort of an expression? Tell us, Dobchinsky.
A look of great deliberation. Suddenly, it dawned on me.
What dawned on you? What do you mean?
Well, please don't question me. It'll all come out. So I called the innkeeper and asked him, who is that young man?
Wait, Dobchinsky, what did he say?
For heaven's sakes, let him tell it if he can.
Oh, thank you, Your Honor. The innkeeper said, that young man is an official. Those were his very words. I remember them distinctly. He's come from Petersburg, he said, and his name is Ivan Lestakov.
You are sure he said he was an official?
Oh, yes, Filipovich, on my word of honor. There's something very odd about him, too, the innkeeper said. He's been here going on 2 weeks now, and he takes everything on account and won't pay a kopeck. Then I knew.
You knew what?
I don't see anything in that.
I do, Mr. Mayor. There's only one answer. He is your official. He is the Inspector General.
No. It can't be. I won't have it. It isn't possible. I'm sweating like a horse.
It must be the Inspector General. He pays nothing and he won't budge.
Oh, well. God have mercy on us, sinners. You say his name is Lestica? What's the number of his room?
Number 5, under the stairs.
How long has he been here?
Oh, going on 2 weeks, I should say. He came on the day of St. Basil the Alexandrine. Why, that's your birthday, isn't it, Anton?
2 weeks. Good saints. Get me out of this. For 2 weeks, the prisoners haven't been fed. The hospital is filthy. The streets look like a regular sewer. 2 weeks. If I live through this, I'll live forever. Filth, scandal, disgrace.
Well, what do we do now? Shall we go to the inn?
No, leave it to me. I've been in a fix before and come out with my skin whole. Don't forget that. And I've even been thanked in the bargain. Say he's a young man, eh?
Oh, yes. 23, perhaps, or 4. Not much more.
Well, very good. So far, it's easier to handle a young man than one of those old devils. So I'll go and call on him. Well, I'll leave you now, gentlemen, with this little warning. Put your affairs in order while I take a look around. I'll take Dobchinsky with me for a stroll. Unofficially, you know. As if inquiring how travelers are treated here. The rest of you get busy. Come on, Dobchinsky.
The more or less innocent object of all this excitement naturally would turn out to be a handsome young man, wouldn't he? But more than that, he is angry and hungry as we discover him with his servant Osip in his room at the inn.
Osip, I'm sick from hunger. I can't stand it another minute. Why, nobody would treat a dog like this. Must be something we can do, Osip, but What, I don't know.
What we've done before, I suppose. Sell some clothes. Oh, we must do something soon, Mr. Lester Cobb, or we must go to jail.
To jail?
This morning, the innkeeper said he would report you to the mayor if you didn't pay your bill today. Oh, let us sell some clothes.
Now, Ozip, I can't do that. As a respectable bookkeeper from Petersburg, I've got to have my clothes. You... Oh, go and see what that bracket's about outside.
As you say, Mr. Lester.
Ah, I am the mayor. May I come in?
So, the mayor, eh? Now for the arrest, eh?
I hope you are well, sir.
I hope you are well. Proceed, mayor. I am the Lestakov you seek.
It is my duty as mayor of this town to see that all visitors receive the treatment they deserve.
But it's not my fault. What am I to do? I always pay my bills, but this landlord is starving me to death.
Please forgive me, but if things are wrong at the inn, perhaps you'd like to come with me to other quarters.
No, never. I won't go. Oh, I know what you mean by other quarters. You won't get me into prison that way. Why, I'm a government official at Petersburg. I'll go straight to the minister. How would you like that, eh? What have you got to say to that?
Oh, no, Lester. Have pity on me. Oh, don't ruin me. I have my wife and small children. I'm only human. It was only my inexperience. Oh, be merciful.
What is this?
Joseph, shut that door and wait outside.
Yes, sir.
I'm surrounded by people who are ready to murder me in cold blood.
Oh, yes, but I have nothing to do with all that. I tell you, I'll pay the bill when my money comes, but I won't be starved, and I won't go to jail.
Now, if you really need anything, I am at your service.
Well, now, you understand it's not my fault, Mr. Mayor. I came in
from
here.
Oh, General Vestikoff, it's my duty to help visitors to the town, and thank the Lord, I know my duty. If it's only money...
Money? You mean...
Be merciful, Your Excellency.
You mean you'd let me have some money?
Why, certainly.
You've got it with you?
Here it is. I'm only too glad to be of any service. How much would you like?
How much would I... Oh, well, now, that's different, isn't it? Well, I should say, 200, I should say, or even less. And I'll pay the landlord on the spot.
Ah, here it is. Exactly 200 rubles. Don't trouble to count them. It's a pleasure to be of service to you.
Well, I'm very much obliged to you.
Oh, praise be. Oh, please, if you will, I want you to come with me. Stay with me at my house, will you?
Will I? Ozip, hey, Ozip.
How are you off to jail, sir?
Quiet, you fool. Ozip, pack our things. We are now living with the mayor.
Yes, sir.
And on our way home, we can inspect the streets and hospitals and the prison.
Yeah, the prison. Oh, no, anything but that.
Happily by before the curtain rises again on a Lestakov who is slightly the worse for wine. He is being ushered into the living room of the mayor's house by the town officials, headed by none other than his honor in person.
Walk right in, Mr. General Lestakov, sir. This is your house now. I'm humbly grateful for the honor you give me.
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. You're most obliging. I like your eagerness to show people about your town. Delightful place. Excellent institution.
In other towns, I venture to say, the officials think more of their own interests. But here it may truly be said, public service is our only thought.
True, Judge Stapkin. Very true. I've often thought that myself. Yeah, well, the lunch was very good. But perhaps I overate. Do you have a lunch like that every day?
It was prepared especially for our illustrious guest. Let us sit down, gentlemen.
I like to eat. I always say there's nothing like good food, good wine, good company. Let me see now. Where was it we had lunch? Oh, at your hospital, wasn't it, Commissioner Filipovich?
Quite so, Excellency. My hospital. I trust it met with your approval.
I should call it delightful. I remember there were beds. Beds standing all around. But I didn't see many patients.
Oh, yes, we have patients, all right. About 10 at the present. 10 at the very most. The others all recovered. A well-managed hospital isn't always cluttered up with patients, you know. We make short work of them here. We're so well organized.
Really?
Why, they hardly come in one door before they're out the other. It's not so much a matter of medicine as of honesty and order. I know it's incredible. But since I've been running that hospital, the patients get well like flies.
Oh, is that so? Well, that's delightful.
But the responsibilities of a mayor. Brain-racking, I can assure you. Brain-racking. Thinking all day. So many problems. So many decisions to make.
Yeah.
Would you have wine, Excellency?
Hmm? Oh, yes. Thank you. Yes, and you're right. You're absolutely right, Mr. Mayor. I've thought of that myself many times. Sometimes I've even written about it. A little presuppose, perhaps, or perhaps I toss off a poem, whatever my mood is.
What brain power?
Tell me, what do you gentlemen do with your spare time? Have you no amusements? No little gatherings, for instance, where you play cards?
Cards? Excellency, how can you ask? We have no time for such frivolous things. A man can't give his best to the state and dawdle over gaming tables.
Oh, I don't know, Mr. Mayor.
Maybe you're right for some, and I'm no prude in such matters, but I'm happy to say I've never held a card in my hand in my life.
Come now. You're exaggerating. It all depends on how you look at it. If you win, for instance, you look at it one way. If you lose, well, double your stakes. Well, what have we here?
May I give myself the honor, sir, of presenting you to my family? I venture to introduce my wife and daughter.
Enchanted, madame. This is indeed a pleasure. And may I thank you for your generous hospitality and for a lovely daughter for so young a mother.
Oh, mother, isn't that sweet?
Hush, Maria, my child. Oh, it's an honor, I assure you, Excellency, to entertain such a distinguished visitor.
Oh, no, upon my soul, madame, it's quite the opposite. It's a much greater pleasure for me.
Oh, a pretty compliment, but I daren't take it for myself. Oh, I beg you to be seated. I suppose after Petersburg, this journey must be very distasteful. Do sit down.
Très gentil, madame. But merely standing beside you makes me happy. However, I think I will sit down. Yes. Well, I must admit that traveling is extremely distasteful to me after being used to living, comprenez-vous, in the great world, the world of glitter and fashion. After all, you know, dirty and stupid people, bad food. Ma foi, quelle différence, n'est-ce pas? That's French, you know, the language of diplomacy.
Yes. Oh, oui.
No smart talk, no beautiful women, except sometimes. And that makes up for everything. Enchanté, madame. Vous êtes ravissante.
Fancy that. It must be so unpleasant.
At this moment, with my head on the shoulder of my host's wife, I find it very pleasant indeed. Très charmant.
Monsieur.
Oh, but not so pleasant as the capital, I'm sure. For after all, this is only the country. Don't you think so?
Vraiment. But the country is not to be despised. It, too, has its hillsides and its brooks. There is nothing like nature, I say. Oh, of course it isn't Petersburg. Petersburg. That's the life. C'est la vie. C'est la vie.
Oui.
Perhaps you think I'm only a bookkeeper. Mon Dieu, what a joke. The head of the section is a friend of mine. He speaks to me intimately. But why are you standing, gentlemen? Please sit down.
We know our rank, and you are now standing. Therefore, we can stand.
Not at all, I assure you. It's a great pleasure.
Please, don't trouble yourself on our account, Your Excellency.
Oh, come. I won't hear of it. Rank or no rank, sit down. Ceremonies are distasteful to me. I'm a plain man. I do my utmost to pass unnoticed. But would you believe it? It's almost impossible.
Just fancy. It must be quite upsetting.
Well, of course, there are compensations. One may go anywhere, of course, and meet all the interesting people. For instance, I know all the beautiful actresses, all delightful ladies. Oh, you see, I've written some things for the stage, a few little trifles. I believe I'll have a little more wine.
I've always wanted to meet a writer. Do you have things in the magazine?
Oh, I send them off to the magazine sometimes. Anything I happen to dash off. It's rather amusing, you know, to dabble in belles lettres. Belles lettres. I'm so prolific, I can't recall the names of most of my things. Norma, Roberly Diab, the Marriage of Figaro, well, that's just a few. You probably know Baron Brumbius, the Moscow Telegraph, the Frigate Hope. Oh, surely you do. Everybody does.
Yes, of course. Well, now I remember.
Well, I wrote them all.
Oh, how perfectly thrilling. So you are Brambius. Then I suppose Yuri Miloslavsky is your work, too.
Oh, yes, that's one of my things.
But, Mama, it says on the book it was written by Mr. Zilgoskin. Don't you remember?
Maria.
Hush, my child, don't argue. Haven't you any manners?
Maria's right, madame. She's absolutely right, and very clever of us, too. Huh? That is by Zilgoskin. And I certainly wouldn't take credit for another man's work. But there happens to be another Yuri Miloslavsky, and that one's mine. Yeah. A little more wine, if I may.
Well, I'm sure it was yours that I read. Oh, it was beautifully written.
You're too generous, madame. Such praise means everything when you give your life to literature. Now, you take my house, for instance. It's probably the finest house in Petersburg. Anyone on the street could point it out to you. And I give balls, too.
Oh, I can fancy what that must be like if you were the host. Such taste, such magnificence.
Oh, that's no word for it. No expense spared. Everything must be just so. That's fine.
Oh, oui.
Well, oui. Gentlemen, this wine is quite good. You must join me. No? Very well. Yes, now where was I? Oh, yes, it takes a man to handle that Petersburg crowd, and I know how.
Oh, yeah.
Got to be very careful how you accept anything, even an honor. Not so long ago, I was offered an important job close to the Tsar. Very well, gentlemen, I said accept the post. So be it, I said. Only with me, gentlemen, it's a very different matter. You'd better look out. You know what I am. You mind your P's and Q's, or... Well, that's all I said. And as a matter of fact, when I walked through those offices, you would have thought there was an earthquake. Oh. That's the way I do things. They get out of my way like jackrabbits. I've struck terror into the very Privy Council itself. I'm like that. No half measures. Don't mind anyone. I tell them all, high or low, rich or poor. Why, I'm in and out of the palace every day. Tomorrow, you may have heard, they're going to make me a field marshal.
Sire, you almost fell.
Oh, you're...
What's all that? What's he saying?
You're...
I can't make anything out of it. It's all nonsense. What's the mayor talking about?
Your Excellency, would you graciously do us the honor of lying down? Here is your room, all ready.
Lie down, nonsense. Why should I lie down? Oh, well, as you please, I don't mind lying down. Joseph, come here, you scamp. Best body servant a man ever had. Joseph is the best body servant.
Did you call me, Mr.
Oh, there you are. Ladies and gentlemen, I bow low to your...
No, never mind, gentlemen. I shall drag my master to his room. He is most particular about such things.
It is the morning of the following day. The scene is once again the living room of the mayor's house. As we shall see, it is already business as usual with Lestakov. The worried town officials are waiting their turns for an audience with him. Filipovich, the hospital commissioner, is just emerging from Lestakov's room.
Thank you, Your Excellency. Thank you. Not at all.
Your turn, Judge Tapkin.
Oh, Lord.
In here, please.
I am Tapkin, Your Excellency. Judge.
Oh, good heavens. It's like a court-martial.
I'm trembling all over.
I'm a complete wreck.
Tell us all about it, Filipovich. What happened to you in there?
Let me get my breath.
Come on, Mr. Hospital Commissioner. You're safe now.
Lord knows we may all go to jail for it.
He took the money all right, didn't he? How much did you give him?
300 rubles, Lukic. And you were superintendent of school.
Never mind, Lukic. What did he do when you gave him the money? Lestakov, I mean.
Yes, that's what I want to know. How'd you give it to him?
Well, he didn't exactly do anything. But I tell you, I thought somebody had nailed my shoes to the floor. I couldn't move. The man's a terror.
The judge must be under griddle, all right. I wonder if the inspector found out about those dogs in the courtroom. That would make a lovely stink.
We can only trust in God, Postmaster Shepkin.
I'm not sure he really suspects anything, but you can't tell about those fellows. I won't sleep for a week.
I don't think I can do it. No, I can't do it. It makes me tremble just to be in the same room with a man one grade above my rank. With this fellow, No, I'll never do it. I don't care what happens.
Well, doing it isn't so bad, Lukic. That's easy enough, but suppose he's just giving us the rope to hang ourselves. What do you think, Shepkin?
I don't think about it. That's the only thing. Just don't think about it. Look, how did you give it to him anyway? You never told us, Filipovich.
Well, Postmaster Shepkin, the money was in my hand, like this. And he looked at me in a funny sort of way, and I felt as if I were carrying hot coals or the money was on fire or something. And anyway, I just dropped it, and he picked it up. For the life of me, I couldn't think of anything to say. So he said perhaps I would lend it to him.
Was that all there was to it? As school superintendent, I have a right to know, you know.
Good Lord, Lukic, wasn't that enough?
I think the judge is coming out.
Oh, thank heavens, I'm not in the service. My nerves wouldn't stand it.
Oh, this inspector general will probably turn the whole town upside down.
Lestakov? Well, I don't see how he can after he takes our money.
Yes, after all, a bargain is a bargain.
Thank you, Your Excellency. Thank you. Holy Father, save us.
What happened, Captain? What did he do?
Stretch me on the rack. Break me on the wheel. Anything but that. It's a regular inquisition.
The man must be a fiend. What are we going to do, Judge Topkin?
The first thing to do is to get right out of here.
Why? Aren't the rest of us going to see him?
Is he really going to turn the town upside down?
Do you suppose we didn't give him enough?
Oh, no. No, it isn't that. It isn't that at all. I don't know what he's going to do, but he's getting dressed and having a glass of tea. I'll bet he's got a head this morning the size of the Kremlin.
Well, are we to come back?
No. He says for the rest of you to wait in the other room. He's coming in here. Did you ever see such a man, Filipovich?
I'm a wreck. But thank goodness it's over for me. We don't have to wait, do we?
No. He's got our money. I think we can go.
Don't leave us like this. We may need help.
I'm beyond help, I tell you. I'm going to teach that German doctor of mine to medicate a Russian. Come along, Judge.
We'll see you to the door. I guess we're in for it. All right. Look in.
And how about me? Even as a simple landlord, I can see trouble.
Do you know, Ozeb, I think these poor fools are taking me for an inspector general. Pretty good, eh? Fancy that. Oh, what a head. I wonder what the devil they gave me to drink yesterday. Oh, there must be kind of those old buzzards.
They're banging their heads together out in the hall. Oh, they seem to be having fits all right. Oh, there's something wrong with all this.
I thought I'd die laughing at that last old scarecrow.
Shh, Your Excellency. Ah, here we are.
Oh, come in.
May I really come in? I have the honor to introduce myself. Shepkin. Postmaster, at your service.
Come in by all means. Glad to see you. Do sit down. Oh, yes, I remember. We had lunch together yesterday, didn't we? Yes, an excellent lunch. Quite delicious. Oh, but that wine. Ooh, that reminds me. Weren't you a little shorter yesterday than you are today, Postmaster Shepkin?
Possibly. Possibly. I suppose one never knows. I'm glad you liked the lunch. It was a great honor. I never spare myself in doing my duty. I wish I could say as much for the others. If I didn't have the best interest of the state at heart, I would never mention it.
Don't stop on my account. You can say anything you like.
Oh, thank you, Your Excellency. Thank you. I'm as loyal as any man. But after all, there are loyalties and loyalties. A man sometimes must decide between friends and duty. But I put my duty first, come what may. Now, the health commissioner is a delightful fellow. He's even a sort of a relation of mine. But, Your Excellency, that hospital, did you ever see such a place?
Yes, I remember there was an awful smell. What was it, the patient?
Oh, no, Your Excellency. And those are not patients. They're relatives of his lying in bed and living off the government.
You mean they're not sick?
Not yet, Your Excellency.
Well, that's very strange. I can't see any sense lying in bed if you're not sick. And I suppose tastes are different.
And the judge, too. You know him. That's Tepkin. He just left. You would never think to look at him that man does nothing, and sometimes even waste the nothing.
You don't say so.
That's only a sample of what goes on in this town. Top to bottom, school superintendent, police chief, everybody. Would you like me to make a note of these things, a sort of unofficial report?
Yes, that's a good idea. I like something amusing to read when I'm bored. What's your name, may I ask? I have the worst memory for names, but I never forget a face.
Shepkin, postmaster. Well, that doesn't matter. I hope I've been of some service to you, and I'll not venture to trouble you with my presence anymore.
Well, come in again sometime. All this is very interesting. I like that sort of thing. Well,
thank you.
One moment. I'd almost forgotten. Would you do me a favor? You know, a queer thing happened to me on the way here. I was completely cleaned out. Very embarrassing, just when I wanted to show my hospitality. I wonder if you could let me have 400 rubles.
Delighted. Anything. Glad to be of service. Is 400 enough?
I'll manage somehow. Only a loan, of course.
As you please, Excellency. And shall I send that note around, you know, our little secret?
Oh, yes, by all means, send it.
And if there's any little private matter that I could attend to
for
you,
thank you, and goodbye.
Well, I'm yours to command.
Yes, goodbye.
Goodbye, General Lestakov.
Goodbye. Now, that's what I call an honest fellow. Why? What's the matter with him? Didn't he give me 400 rubles?
General Lestakov. What we need now is a pair of fast horses.
Quiet, Osip. Somebody coming.
Your Excellency, I have honor to introduce myself, Lukic, school's superintendent, titular counselor.
Oh, yes, no doubt. Well, I'm delighted to see you. Sit down. Won't you have a cigar?
Yes. No.
Oh, you don't smoke?
No. Yes. Let me say.
Yes. Well, what are your vices? Women?
Oh.
Well, I mean, you like blondes or brunettes?
Oh, my goodness. I'm very sick, Lestakov. I mean, to the Excellency.
Why, you've dropped something. Is it money?
No.
Real money?
Yes. No, I don't know.
Would you make me a loan?
Yes. No, it's not money. It's not mine. I don't know. Oh, Lord, I'm happy.
Did you see that, Osip? Did you see him tremble?
It may be funny to you, but I tell you, Mr. Lestakov, this can't go on. It's not natural. You'd better be careful.
What for, when they're all throwing money at me? Now, let's see how much I've got. Hey, that's a pretty sight, Osip. More than 1,000 rubles. Think of that. Osip, get me some paper. I must write to Petersburg and tell Pitchkin about this. Oh, this will make a tale, all right. You see, you stupid fellow, how much they make of me? They take me for somebody. Let this be a lesson to you.
Well, it's not right. It might make trouble. I think we'd better get away from here. You've gone too far.
Go away? Well, don't be an ass. It wouldn't be right to go away and leave a thing like this. Well, it doesn't happen to everyone, I'll bet. No, we'll stay a little longer. Perhaps tomorrow.
Oh, no. Tomorrow's too late. Do let's go, sir. I know it's a great honor for you and all that, but surely they've made some mistake. Let's go now. They have fast horses here. We can get off in no time.
All right. Only be quiet, will you, Olson? I want you to take this letter to the post office first. And get some good horses and drivers who'll drive fast and sing songs. I'll bet Pitchkin will break a rib laughing over this. I wonder where he lives now.
On Post Office Street, in the alley, back of number 13, over the butcher shop. There lives Pitchkin.
Ah, that rascal never pays his rent. Ah, well.
And then, a little while later, the scene still being the living room of the mayor's house.
Oh, sir, you mustn't. Oh, really, you mustn't. I shouldn't let you.
Dear heart, my darling Anna, you must believe in me.
Oh, it sounds just like your novels and plays. Oh, but I thought you loved my daughter, Maria.
No, Anna. She is only a candle flame beside the sun, that's all. It's you I love. My life hangs in the balance. Give me life, not death. With heart aglow, I ask you. Nay, I beg, madame, this little hand. See, I'm on my knees before you.
Oh, really, you ruin your clothes. Oh, what can I say? What should I say? You know I am married.
Oh, then you'll divorce, of course. Oh. Ah, let us flee away to some happy dale beside a running brook.
Oh, well, I never. What a surprise.
Mama, how could you?
What is it? What is it, Maria? What a flutter brain dashing about the house like a scalded cat. What's so surprising, anyway? With all the manners I've taught you, you act like a child of three. Anyone would think you weren't out of the cradle yet.
Come here to me, my Maria.
But really, Mama, Papa told me to come in, and I didn't know. Really, I didn't, Mama.
Well, why don't you use your head? You're just a flippity-gibbet.
Madame, do not oppose our happiness, but give a mother's blessing to our constant love.
What? Oh.
Oh, I see. So then it is her, is it?
But of course.
Oh, Mama, isn't it wonderful?
Well, there now, you silly girl. You see what a little scatterbrain you are? Just for a foolish girl like you, His Excellency was on his knees begging my consent.
End my agony, Madame. Tell me, is it to be life or death?
Oh, Mama, I'm sorry. I thought that... Isn't it thrilling?
Please say yes, Mama. But it would serve you right if I didn't. You don't deserve such happiness.
Oh, Your Excellency, Your Excellency. I'm told they've been here squealing to you like the pigs they are.
Oh, Anton, have you heard the news?
Oh, spare me, Your Excellency. Don't believe them. They're all liars. And I don't cheat the shopkeepers much.
I don't care whom you cheat, Mr. Mayor.
Don't make a fool of yourself, Anton. Do you know the honor His Excellency is doing us? He wants to marry our daughter.
What? Oh, please don't be angry, Your Excellency. She's not very strong in her head.
What?
Her mother was the same way. Just don't notice it. Please don't be angry.
Angry? Why should I be angry? A man in love is not angry, and I love your daughter.
Your Excellency, I can't believe it.
Will you listen? Will you behave yourself? He means it, I tell you.
I might go off my head with love. Things like that have happened, you know.
Papa, isn't it wonderful?
I'm not a man to make any interference. And if you won't let me marry Maria... Heaven knows what I'll do.
But you must be joking.
Blockhead.
If I shoot myself, it'll be your fault.
Go on, don't be such an idiot. Give them your blessing.
Oh, may God bless you. All right, there it is. But remember now, it's not my fault, Anna. And don't blame me afterwards for this. I had nothing to do with it.
We'd better get away now, sir. Oh, the horses are ready. Everything is packed.
Ozip, you've come in the nick of time. Let's get out of here.
What? Is Your Excellency going so soon? Why, in a manner of speaking, there was... some hint about a wedding, wasn't there? Or am I mistaken?
Oh, yes, certainly, but I must go away for a day or so just to see my uncle. He's a very rich man, but it won't take long. I'll be back tomorrow. Farewell, my love.
Farewell.
No, there are no words for my feelings. Farewell.
Farewell.
Goodbye, Anton.
Goodbye.
Thanks for everything. Goodbye, madame.
Goodbye.
Farewell, my darling.
Farewell.
Farewell, angel of my heart.
Farewell.
Look for us tomorrow or the day after. Goodbye.
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 There was joy and feasting at the mayor's house that night, and the well-wishing friends came one by one.
Anton, my dear fellow, tell me, is it really true? Oh, what a wonderful stroke of luck. Anna, my darling, how perfectly thrilling.
Oh, thank you.
Good wishes to you all from your true friend, the hospital commissioner.
Amazing all this, isn't it, Filipovich? Walk right in, Judge Captain.
Ah, congratulations, old man. I always knew you had it in you all the time. How wonderful it is indeed. May God give you a long life and prosperity. Grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
Yes, Judge, our little girl is going to be a great lady.
I always knew it. What a sweet child.
Well, well, I suppose you'll be off to Petersburg in no time.
Oh, we'll never forget our old friends.
But perhaps you'll come to Petersburg to see us sometime. We intend to live in Petersburg now. Here, there's such an air. I must say, it's really too rustic. I find it excessively disagreeable. My husband, too, will get a general's rank there.
I'm so excited, I don't know what to do. Oh, look, here comes Dobzhinsky.
Oh, be quiet, child, you and your Dobzhinskys.
Oh, what an event, Anton. What a propitious event. I congratulate you sincerely. And you, madame, permit me.
Here comes the superintendent of schools. Greetings, Lukic.
What a destiny. Here you go up like a skyrocket. How wonderful. Yes, but you mustn't forget your old friends, you know, Anton.
We'll drink a toast to the bride.
Yes, yes, yes. The toast, eh?
Oh, please sit down, ladies and gentlemen. I am a happy man indeed. This is the greatest day of my life. The day I have looked forward to for many years. How proud it makes me indeed. But then, too, how humble.
But where's the happy man? Where is our illustrious guest?
Well, you see, he's just dashed over there to get the family blessings and tell the glad news. I never saw anyone so happy. Why?
Oh, look, here's Postmaster Shipkin.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, the most amazing thing has happened. It's given me quite a shocker.
Be quiet, man. Don't you hear? The mayor is talking to us.
I was saying, I must tell you.
I tell you, gentlemen, this is the most startling news.
Quiet, Postmaster Shipkin.
Yeah. Well, it can wait. We have news enough right here for one day.
I tell you, Mayor, this is something absolutely extraordinary. I have never heard anything like it.
And I tell you, I don't want to hear it. You understand? If you had a man open his mouth in his own house without having you run here, yelling and shouting at the top of your voice, now sit down and be quiet.
Yes, sit down. I'm in no mood to be trifled with. Now, ladies and gentlemen.
You trifle with this? I tell you, I have a letter here.
Oh, I will, eh? Well, now I'll tell you something. I don't care anything about your darned old letter. Now, not another word.
Yes, but this letter I opened at the post office.
Oh-ho! So you've been opening letters at the post office, have you? Well, that's a fine thing to do. It's a criminal offense, and I won't have it. I'll send you to Siberia, that's what I'll do.
To Siberia, huh? Well, you just try it.
I guess you don't know that my daughter is going to marry the Inspector General.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's just the point. He isn't the Inspector General. Never was and never will be.
What?
Not the Inspector General, eh?
I only know what he said himself in his letter.
How dare you open the mail of a person of his authority?
But I tell you, he is not the person of authority.
Well, if you know so much, what is he then?
A nobody. Just a rascal. I know. He fleeced me out of 300 rubles.
One more word out of you and I'll put you under arrest.
Oh, yes? That's more than you can do. I think I'd better read you the letter before you make a complete fool of yourself, unless you've already done so. Shall I read it aloud?
If you do, I'll read the blasted letter.
Yes, yes, yes. Come on.
Just listen to this. My dear Pitchkin, I have been having quite a time since I saw you last, and the latest adventure will make you die laughing. I can't wait to tell you about it. I was staying at the inn in this town without a penny, and the landlord was about to send me off to prison, the filthy beast.
What?
I got cleaned out in the card game when the craziest thing happened that I had ever heard of in my life. The whole of this idiotic town seems to take me for the Inspector General.
What?
I am now staying at the mayor's house and living in high life, such as it is, in this hall. They gave me a lunch yesterday that knocked me even off my feet, and you know how much I can drink. I have been up to a little flirting with the mayor's wife and daughter.
Oh.
It's so easy, I don't know where to begin. Everyone hands me as much money as I ask for. You never saw such people. First of all, there is the mayor. I wish you could see him. Just to look at him is enough to throw you into a fit. And he's as stupid as an old gray horse.
Shipkin, that's an insult. You're making it up. I'll hang you for this, you dirty scoundrel. You can't come in here.
All right. Read it yourself.
Mm-hmm. An old gray horse, huh?
Mm, you'll answer for this. You know very well you wrote it. And it's in very bad taste, I can tell you.
Why should I write it? I don't care whether you're a horse or not. It's nothing to me.
Go on.
Read it. All right. The mayor, as stupid as an old gray horse.
You don't have to go on repeating it, do you? Is there nothing else in the letter? Go ahead.
Just an old gray horse. The postmaster, too, is a good fellow. Well, we don't have to go into that. It seems to be entirely irrelevant.
Oh, no, you don't now. You go right ahead and read every bit of it.
Yes, come on.
Here, give it to me. I'd better read this part. The postmaster seems to be the town gossip. Tells everything he knows and hops about like a flea. Mm. He looks like a rascal, and I know he's a drunkard.
I guess I wrote that, too, didn't I? The blow stamp.
The health commissioner.
Oh. Yes. Go on. Go ahead.
It's hard to read. The writing's not so good here.
You'd better let me have a look. No, he's drunkard. The health commissioner rumbles like a barrel full of wind. And he has a very peculiar personal odor.
That's not even wind.
The judge. His idiotic name is Tapkin. Seems to be the local heartbreaker. A provincial Don Juan.
I protest. This is all irrelevant and immaterial. There's a law in this country against evidence like that. I won't stand for it. Let him confront me in the court of justice if he wants. It isn't legal.
Oh, what a painful disappointment. Oh, there must be some mistake. Oh, this is my death blow.
But he can't get away with this. No. Bring him back. Bring him back. Horse am I. I'll horse him, the mean little cheat. I who have swindled the whole world and hoodwinked three governors to be tripped up by a pie-faced little nincompoop.
Oh, it can't be true. He's engaged.
Engaged? Holy saints. So you want your daughter to marry that flea-bitten chatterbox?
Oh,
that's rich, that is, with his high office and his calling on the Tsar. I'd like to break his neck for him, the pop-eyed little brat.
Control yourself, husband. Oh, what a thing to happen. I wish I'd never been born. I'm entirely ruined.
I'm the one that ought to be ruined.
Oh, hush, you little fool. I tell you, I'm ruined, and that's the end of it.
And he has such a sweet little nose.
Well, what good is his nose to you now?
Yes, and it's all your fault. You knew a gentleman when you saw one, did you? Rank didn't make any difference to you, did it? No, but you make a fool of me before the whole world, that's what. I'll never get over it.
You did it yourself. You brought him here to my house and passed him off on my own daughter. That's the sort of a father you are. And then you blame it on me. Coward. If you use your head sometimes, you wouldn't make a gibbering idiot of yourself.
Whoever said he was the Inspector General in the first place? Who was it? I'd like to know. I'll show him an Inspector General.
He must have done it himself, the rascal.
No, he didn't either. Somebody wrote a letter to the mayor. That was it, wasn't it? Don't be a jackass. My friends don't write lies like that.
Well, you did get a letter, didn't you?
What if I did? I still have it. It said an Inspector General was coming. It didn't say this little scallywag was the Inspector General. That's some of your doings, not mine.
Oh, no, it wasn't. I didn't even see him until you brought him to the hospital.
I did nothing of the sort. I treated him with the courtesy to an official, no more, no less. He turned out to be a scamp. That's not my fault. I'd do as much for any man.
You gave him the town, all right.
Yeah, you certainly did. The point is, though, who started it? As mayor of this town, I still have some authority, and I'll find out if I wait till my dying day.
What difference does it make anyway? The harm's done. The rascal's gone with all our money.
Yes, but somebody did start it. After the mayor got the letter, don't you remember?
Yes, that's right, So it was, let's see. It was that fellow over there, wasn't it? Dobchinsky.
Oh,
He saw him at the inn. Hey, come back here, you.
Yeah, so he did. And he came running in to tell us.
Oh, no, there must be some mistake. I never really thought of such a thing.
Aha! So you did it, did you? It was your little prank, eh?
No, I didn't do it. I had nothing to do with it. Why, the fellow borrowed 25 rubles from me, every cent I had.
You did it. What's 25 rubles, I'd like to know, and you ruined us all and made us a joke. Why, some idiot will write us up in a sketch for the stage. What did you care? He's here. He's here, you said. Yes, and who was it? Ah, fine mess. Poor little fool. Can't you tell an Inspector General when you see one?
I didn't do it, I tell you.
You did, too. He told me he did. You came running in here and you said, just think, Anna, it was I who discovered him.
Oh.
What's the matter with you? Haven't you anything better to do? If you had to prowl about the town making up stories, you rattle-brained jackass, I'd have put you in jail. You're a menace to the community.
You pot-bellied little shrimp.
You half-wit. Spider. Silence! Listen. What is this marching up the hall? A parade?
Halt! The Inspector General has arrived from Petersburg with instructions from the government. He is here.
The Inspector General!
You have just heard Nikolai Gogol's The Inspector General, adapted for NBC series of great plays by Neil Hopkins and produced under the direction of Lester O'Keefe. Featured in the cast were Ian Martin as Lestakov, Mark Smith as the mayor, Fred I. Lewis as Tapkin, Joseph Latham as Filipovich, Maurice Wells as Lukic, Lou Sorin as Shepkin, Peter Donald as Dobchinsky, John Call as Osip, Eleanor Audley as the mayor's wife, Theodora Peck as the mayor's daughter, and Harry Belliver as the guardsman. The special music was written by Tom Bennett. The orchestra was under the direction of Joseph Stopak. And here now is Barrett H. Clark, who will speak to you briefly about next Sunday's great play. Mr. Clark.
Our next play will be the recent New York success, The American Way, by Moss Hart and George S. Kaufman. We invite you to listen at the same hour next Sunday. plays are presented as a public service for the National Broadcasting Company and the independent radio stations associated with the Blue Network of the National Broadcasting Company.